We'll see what happens. Ephesians 3:20. All right. Ephesians 3:20. This is part two of this is our scripture, our theme scripture from last week, this entire month. Let's read it. Ready, set, go. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. I'm going to do a review really quick from last week, only like really, really, really quick. So forgive me if I go really fast. I said last week, don't underestimate the power of your mind and your tongue. Amen. And then the TP translation says, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you. Everybody say, never doubt. Everybody say, never doubt. That's easier said than done, but never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all the things. Everybody say, all the things. Accomplish all the things. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest requests, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. Your wildest imagination. Everybody say, imagination. God created us to think, to imagine. Anybody see yourself better? Anybody see this church better? Your bank account better? Your grades better? Your marriage better? Your health better? So think about better and think about God exceeding what you think better is. I think better is this, and God is going to exceed that. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Exceeding abundantly. Abundantly is a lot. Better in my book is a lot. But God is going to exceed what's in my book, what I think is in my book. But if you don't give God something to exceed, what is he going to exceed? It's like a blank piece of paper. You hold it up to God and God says, I can't do nothing with that. But you pour out your heart to God and he can do everything with that. Amen. Amen. Part two. Watch him out part two. And by the way, underneath watch him out part two is I said what I said. Everybody say, I said what I said. Everybody say, I said what I said. God said what he said. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I said what I said. Last week we talked about stand. This week we're going to talk about say it and see it. Amen. Amen. Say what's on your heart. I just said 2 seconds ago, pour out to God. Pour out to God. Don't hold back, especially here at the house of Judah. Do not hold back. It's easy to do, to say what's on your heart if you're standing on truth. Amen. I'm standing on truth. But if what's in your heart is questionable, what you say is going to be questionable. And then what you eventually see is going to be questionable. So if what I'm seeing is questionable because what I said was obviously questionable, and you can trace it back to what's on your heart. What was on your heart? That probably was what? Questionable. What you speak would eventually end up in your hand. Amen. 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 What you speak would eventually end. Everybody hold your hand out. Yes. What you speak, your reality right now, your lifestyle, you are born looking like your daddy. I kind of look like my mama cheeks and my forehead is from the Walker family, the eyebrows and what side of the family the gray hairs are coming from these days. My God, from Zion. I'm going to counseling for these 72 gray hairs. What's happening? But anyway, you're born looking like your daddy, but you die looking like your choices. You're born looking like your daddy, but you die looking like your choices. Your choices come from what you say. Amen? So watch your mouth part two is basically about what you will see in the future. It's because of your mouth and your words. We've heard this teaching before, but I'm going to come at it a little bit differently. Your homily affects your hand. If you don't like what's in your hand, hold your hand out one more time. Thank y'all for just being a good sport. If you don't like what's in your hand, if you don't like what's in your bank account, raise the other hand. If you don't like what's in your family, raise your other hand. If you don't like what's going on in the government, raise your hand. If you don't like what's going on in the school system, if you don't like what's in your hand, perhaps our mouth got to start moving. Amen. A little bit more. Amen. Amen? Amen? A little bit more. Proverbs 18:22 said it last week, death and life. It's interesting that it says it in this order. I would have chose the other order. It says death and life are in the power of the what? The power of the tongue. I missed this last week. And those who love it, write this down, would eat its fruits. Write down fruit. I think it's going to come back in a few minutes. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Everybody hold your hand out. Fruit. Everybody say fruit. Everybody say fruit. Those who love it, death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Hand of the tongue. Power is translated from a Hebrew word, yad, in the hand. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue. Everybody say something that you want to see in your hand in the future. Ready, set, go. Say something you want to see in the future in your hand. What do you want to see in your hand in the future? What do you want to see? I mean, you can say $1 million. God ain't scared of that. You can say health. You can say complete wholeness. You can say a new president, but I mean, I don't know how that's going to happen. After it's going to have to, some saying, man, we don't need them for 16 years. I know what's trying to happen. I know what y'all seen on the news. All right. I know y'all praying like never before. You saying more than 4 years. I know what you're saying. I know it because you're laughing. You're confirming it with your laugh. Look at somebody and say, laugh it off. Speech can never be underestimated. Listen, I'm telling you what I know. I'm 44. I don't know how I missed this in 44 years. And so I'm like, I'm seeing stuff in my hand and I'm tracing it back to this. Like in 2026, I'm like, how did I miss this? How did I miss this? Everybody get your hands up like this. And you can trace what's in your hand to this. Everybody do this about 2 or 3 times. Why y'all judging me in that tone of voice? You like, you teaching me, you supposed to know this. Speech can never be underestimated because what we hear, what people hear with their ears, actually comes from something deeper. It comes from something very deep that cannot be heard. The Spirit will birth what is spoken. Amen. I know you guys already knew this. Amen. Of course I knew this. Matthew 12:36. I think I did that review in record time. Jesus said, I'll tell you. And it's not that I didn't know this. Can I be transparent? I think what happens with Alpha sometimes, sometimes that makes sense. So it's just that, hey, I'm saying the right things, but then I'm also saying the wrong things. Amen. Man, I felt the grace in the room. Y'all turned that thing quick. Y'all say, yeah, it's okay, bro. Matthew 12:36, Jesus said, I tell you that everyone will give an account on the day of judgment for every empty Argos, this is a Greek word, for every Argos, write that down, Argos word they have spoken. God has a pen and an eraser. He has a pen. He said, you sure you want to say that? All right. All right. It's not that it's bad, that it means it's bad. It's just that he said, you sure you want to say that? He said, you sure you want to say that? And then he has an eraser for when we repent. Amen. So I want to trigger God's eraser, as said a while back. Every empty word they have spoken, argos, empty word meaning idle. Every idle word, God's going to judge it. Every mindless word, because mindless words come from what? A mindless heart. If your heart is mindless, I know they say in yoga, empty your mind and just let the spirit, something like that. Like just, well, what spirit? Like I'm emptying my mind for what? I'm not emptying my mind because when I empty my mind, who do you think is waiting to get into my mind? The enemy. I'm not going to empty my mind. I am going to fill my mind with the word of God. Amen. Because an empty mind equals empty words. Every empty word they have spoken, free from labor, barren, argos. Amen? So when I'm weak, I'm not going to be silent when I'm weak. When my bank account is negative, I'm not going to be silent. Amen? Because the Bible says in Joel 3:10, let the weak do what? Be silent? Let the weak be silent. No, let the weak what? Let the weak say, let the weak say, I am strong. Amen. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. Let the lame say, I can walk. Yeah. I know it looks like crazy. Let the negative be what?
Positive.
Be positive. Let the weak say comes from a Hebrew word, amar, to say, to let the weak declare. Everybody say declare. Yeah. Everybody say speak. Look at somebody say, watch your mouth.
Watch your mouth.
Look at somebody else say, watch your mouth. Everybody say, watch your mouth. Numbers 13. This was, I was trying to go 50 miles per hour to get to this passage. Numbers 13. And I have a lot of scriptures today. Y'all okay with that?
Amen.
Numbers 13. I mean a lot of scriptures. Numbers 13, verse 2 says, now the Lord now said to Moses, all right, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. Read with me if you don't mind. You don't have to. The land I am giving to who? The Israelites. Send one leader each from the 12 tribes, ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, which is good news right here, because Moses had a history or has a history of not doing what God told him to do, exactly how God wanted him to do it. Amen? So this is kind of, I get excited about reading this passage because Moses is about to follow instructions the exact same, I mean, like how God wanted him to do it. So Moses, he sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel. Look at that obedience from Moses. From their camp in the wilderness of Paran. All right, so careful how you treat this assignment. Y'all see what's going on, right? Y'all understand what's going on here, right? So God had made Israel a promise, and the promise was this territory. For an example, let's say God promised us in this room the entire city of Easley. We live in Seneca. God said, Easley is yours. All right? And so go and do what? In Numbers 13, go and do what? Go and do what? Send out the men to do what to Easley or to the land? To what? To do what? Everybody say explore. Everybody say explore. So God made us a promise. He's given us Easley. He's given us Easley. Easley is mine. So I'm going to Easley to do what? Explore. Everybody say explore. So I'm going to explore Easley or explore the land that God has promised me. But be careful how you handle the assignment. Because explore or scouting out the land is not for God's benefit. Do you hear what I am saying? It is not a request to verify or see if what God said is legit. God promised us Easley. Easley is ours. So he says, go and explore. And so that's not to verify, you know, how dare we try to grade God or check behind God. Explore. Everybody say explore. That's good news. Everybody say explore. Imagination. Imagination. Because if God made you a promise, he has given you permission to explore in your mind.
Amen.
I'm going to be married one day. Explore. Everybody, you may say, man, I'm 92. If God said you're going to be married one day, you have permission to explore in your mind. If the house of Judah is going to be filled with people in this church going back out into the community and making disciples and reaching college students, feeding the poor, then in your mind, in the mind of house of Judah, and those connected to the house of Judah, we have permission to what? Explore. I'm giving you 10 seconds to explore in your mind.
Amen.
What's possible? What has God told you? What has he told you? You know he told you. I'm giving you 10 seconds to explore.
Amen.
Told me explore.
Amen.
I can tell we're not used to exploring. I'm never short of dreaming and exploring. You have permission. We ain't grading God. We're not checking behind God. The promises of God are yay, and they are what? Amen. This is not a posture. This is not a posture to verify. Amen. It's kind of like this. If you have you don't have a budget. You the one. I know y'all get this. It's kind of in my notes-ish. I hope this land right. You remember. You know, in our families, we want some people not to plan the family reunion. We've already decided that the family reunion is going to be in Texas. Amen. It's in Texas. All right. And so it's in Texas. So we don't have a budget because it's paid for. So you normally go ahead of the people, whoever's on the family reunion committee, and you explore. You are responsible for picking out the hotel. Everybody say, be responsible, because I got you picking the place. You picking the place for me. You picking where we're going to eat. All right. We don't need no strikes. You picking where we're going to eat, where we're going to stay. You picking the excursion. So you know ahead of time, and you don't have a budget. How would you plan the family reunion if you don't have a budget? You would absolutely explore, and you would choose the best of the best. Amen? Amen. You would explore. You said, you know what? I'm going to see what it's like to stay at this old Ritz-Carlton. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Y'all ain't excited about that. Yeah. I mean, how are you going to explore when God made you a promise? Numbers 13, verse 27. Everybody say, watch your mouth. I said what I said. We got to watch out. They gave Moses this account. God, Moses sent them out to explore, but they come back with excuses. Everybody say explore.
Explore.
All right, not excuses. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us. Listen to the tone. Am I doing all right? We went into the land which you sent us. And by the way, this is only 10 out of the 12. Only 10 were talking like this, by the way, because it wasn't two talking like this. And we know from last week, the two that was not talking like this is Joshua and who? And Caleb. Caleb and Joshua don't sound like this. All right? They don't sound like this. Here, and it does flow with milk and honey. You know, here's the fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat us. Y'all see that again? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. The land is flowing with milk and honey, not literally milk and honey, but this land is rich. Here's the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even see descendants of, I'm from Fair Forest, and I spent all night trying to figure out what's the pronounce, how do you pronounce this? Anak, Anak? My Fair Forest kept coming out. Of Anak there. The Amalekites live there. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live there in the hill country, and the Canaanites live there near the sea along the Jordan. Look at all these excuses. God made you a promise, and he wants you to explore, and you coming up with excuses. How dare we? Alpheus, how dare you? I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking to me. Alpheus, how dare you? How dare you come up with all these excuses, and God has given you permission to explore. The Canaanites are there. The descendants of Anak. Goodness. A-N-A-K. Descendants are there. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Amen?
Amen.
You see how fear can make problems look bigger than they really are. And now, if you go back, sweets, go back. Fear can make problems bigger than they really are. Now, this is a problem. This is a problem, but it's not a problem too hard for God. And this has been a problem before. All of these guys that the spies are lifting, you know, you got the Amalekites. They got the Amalekites over there. I mean, you know, like we had to fight them before. You got the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Canaanites. Man, they into some wicked stuff. And we got to fight them in the spirit and in the natural. That's a lot. Fear can make problems look bigger than they really are. Amen. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? I remember being scared of a shadow. I remember being like ready to run out the house over just like the floor, like something like over the air conditioned noise. It cut on and it was just a little bit, it had a little bit, I was ready to go and get something off under the mattress. That fear can make something appear bigger than it really is. Fear can also make you regress to previous problems that have already been solved. It can make you regress to previous problems that were already solved. And you're magnifying a previous problem that God already solved. Especially, so I hear Israel talking like this. You know, the Amalekites, you know, we had to fight them, Moses. Moses, you remember when you struck the rock with, you struck the rock and the water came out and it was like enough water for 1 million people. And then we had all this water in the desert. First of all, that is a crazy miracle. You in the desert, I've been there. We've been there. We've been literally in Arabia, miles and miles and miles, no water. And like 12 months ago. And then Moses, he strikes a rock and it's enough water to quench the thirst of 1 million people. Do you know how huge that is? In the middle of the desert, what's more precious than gold or silver or diamonds? Water. So the Amalekites got wind of Israelites having all of this resources of water that is more precious than gold. So they pick a fight with Israel. And so, Moses, you want me to go to get my promise and I got to face the Amalekites again? We almost lost this battle. As a matter of fact, we almost lost it. Moses was supposed to have his hands raised when this battle was being fought. And as long as Moses' hands was raised, we would win the battle. And Moses got tired. Moses, you sure you want me to? You even got tired fighting the Amalekites. And we had to hold your hands up. Who was it that had to hold Moses' hand up? Was it Aaron and her? You sure, Moses? You see how they are magnifying the problem. Look at somebody say, magnify the Lord. Not the problem. Everybody say, magnify the Lord. Not the problem. Magnify the Lord, not the problem. First of all, we got to watch. Everybody say, watch your mouth. I said what I said. But in 2026, we got to watch the mouths of those that are around us. I mean, I'm watching my mouth. I'm getting better at it. Amen. But we got to watch the mouths of the company you keep. You said Alpheus, but I'm always with my cousins. Watch the mouths of the company you keep. I'm always with my mama. I said what I said. Watch the mouths of the company you keep. My bestie, she's cool, but my bestie, she's always negative. Watch the mouths of the company you keep, even if it's your grandma. It's quiet in this beautiful church. Numbers 13 says, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. But the people keep, go to Numbers 13, 31. Yep. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Everybody say, watch the mouths of the company you keep. And they spread among the Israelites a what? A bad report. Misery sure does love company. They spread a bad report about the land they had explored. Explored. They're coming back with excuses. You're supposed to be enjoying yourself and using your imagination. Taking a little time to enjoy the view. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. How you even know that? You ain't even there yet. You're being creative about the enemy. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim. They are the descendants of Anak, Anak, come from the Nephilim. And I've also been in, I want to say it's in Egypt, and I've seen with my own eyes. If you don't think the Bible is true, it is true. I've seen with my own eyes, maybe about 16 feet underground. 16 feet underground, the sarcophagus, like this basically this coffin of a Nephilim. It's like basically from this wall to here. Who's going to fit in a coffin that size? That is bigger than, like, why am I 16 feet underground in a chamber of coffins that big? I got pictures if y'all want to see them after church. I have video. And by the way, how is it 16 feet underground? And by the way, the pyramids are down the street. We all have questions. Who built the pyramids? Who was strong enough to build the pyramids? I mean, this is a mystery. I'm not solving it. But I'm just saying, who's strong enough to build the pyramids? But there's a coffin 16 feet underground. I am there. And I'm like, who's in this coffin? No wonder the Israelites saying, you know, you got the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak. We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Now they're speaking for the enemy. You can't do this, guys. You cannot do this. And we look the same to them. God has got them so deceived. He will have us so deceived. We're speaking on the enemy's behalf. We done switched sides. We look like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. How are you going to speak for the enemy? The enemy may see you as a threat, and you saying the enemy sees you as a non-threat. I mean, you know you deceive. You know, let me tell you what my definition of fear. I think I said this here a few years ago. Fear, write this down. Fear is when facts are exaggerated and replayed. When you exaggerate the facts and you replay them over and over, it's going to throw you off. Y'all remember during the pandemic when we were up at 3 a.m. trying to find tissue and we were in the grocery store and we're trying to find toilet tissue? Amen. Amen. When we should have been, that's the fourth watch. At 3 a.m., we should have been on our knees. Amen. And we were at Food Lion trying to find some tissue. That's what, because somebody called you and said, amen, I heard something from the government and the government's going to shut down tomorrow. So call your friend. Did y'all ever get that call? It was like this phone tree. Hey, I heard something. I got a friend in the Pentagon. Everybody had a friend at the Pentagon. And they said it was a Facebook. That fear, man, we had enough food for 18 years in our house. We didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, we can't even eat it all. That fear is when facts are exaggerated and replayed. Everybody say, watch your mouth. Everybody say, watch your mouth. I'm really trying to hurry through this. Y'all okay? Y'all enjoying this? I said what I said. Numbers 13:30. Then sometimes, again, watch the company, watch the mouths of the company you keep. Sometimes you got to do this. Then Caleb, he said, I heard enough. I can't remember what movie. I think maybe it was The Clumps or something. The comedian said, enough. That's what I hear. If y'all remember that movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Then Caleb's name, by the way, last week we said it means wholehearted devotion. Wholehearted devotion. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses. Everybody say, shh. Everybody say, enough. Enough. It's just enough. We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Caleb is doing what we said last week. Stand. This week is say it and see it. Caleb is standing on the word. Everybody say, we can certainly do it. Everybody look at every empty seat in this room and say, we can certainly do it. Look at every empty seat. Everybody look at every bill in your imagination. Say, I can certainly do it. Look at your school, your whatever you're facing, and say, I can certainly do it. Everybody look at your health and say, God can certainly do it. I said what I said. That's what I like Caleb. He's becoming one of my favorite. I may get the t-shirt that says, I stand with Caleb. Y'all, will y'all buy it? Yeah. I'll just sell it to you for cost. You ain't no profit. I stand with Caleb. And maybe, I don't know. Numbers 14:6. Joshua and Caleb, members of the scouting party. These were the two that did not sound like the 10. I'm almost finished. These were the two that did not sound like the 10. Everybody say, don't sound like the 10. That could be the title of the day's teacher. Don't sound like the 10. Everybody say, don't sound like the 10. Everybody say, don't sound like the 10. I'm a songwriter. If you don't sound like the 10, you will win. If you don't sound like the 10, you will win. Don't sound like the 10, you will win. Don't. All right, you could be in my group because you're the only one. Don't sound like the 10. Don't sound like the 10, and you will win. But let me tell you something. I knew Caleb is rising to the top of my favorite in the Bible, if nothing else for this week. I really like Moses. Jesus is my all-time favorite. But this doggone Caleb, he let it rip. He silenced the people. Then Joshua and Caleb, they ripped their clothes and addressed the assembly. The imagery of that alone just freed me this week. They ripped their clothes. Everybody say, let it rip. They ripped their clothes. Just to give you just 2 seconds. Don't go to sleep. 2 seconds. Jacob, he ripped his clothes. Jacob ripped his clothes when he thought Joseph was dead in Genesis. Job, he ripped his clothes. This is very flamboyant. This is a lot of commotion. You see this a lot in the Bible. They tore their clothes when something unfavorable has happened. What is the unfavorable, unthinkable, annoying? Everybody say, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed. Everybody say, I'm annoyed. It is okay to let it rip. Everybody say, let it rip. They ripped their clothes and they did what? Watch your mouth. They addressed the assembly of people of Israel. They said, the land we walked through and scouted out is very good land. They're talking negatively. Sometimes you got to let it rip and say what God said. Even to your mama. Mama, you can't talk like that. Daddy, you got to stop talking like that. Everybody say, let it rip. Everybody say, sister, you got to stop talking like that. Everybody say, church. We got to stop talking like that. Everybody say, let it rip. I said what I said. Say what God said. Amen. They ripped their clothes and they addressed the situation. If God is pleased with us, he will what? He will lead us into the land that flows with, as they say, with milk and honey. And he will give it to us. Everybody say, let it rip. Let it rip. Man, this freed me. Let it rip. Just don't rebel against God and don't be afraid of those people. You can't say this with no puny voice. You can't say what God said with a posture of non-authority. You have to have authority when you're speaking on God's behalf. Amen? Amen? Sometimes you may have to elevate your voice. Sometimes you may not have to elevate your voice. Because God's word is powerful in itself. It needs no extra umph. Amen? It needs no extra DJ. It needs no extra sound man. Sometimes you can say, thus said the Lord, just like this. Like on a bus in China. That's all I thought about. I said, Lex said, my wife said, you just trying to find some common ground for you addressing something. Caleb said, just don't rebel against God. Amen. Don't rebel against God and don't be afraid of those people. Wow, we will have them for lunch. We will have them for lunch. Do you see opposition or do you see an opportunity? Sometimes you got to let it rip. Everybody say, let it rip. Especially when your promise is being confronted or being threatened. Everybody say, let it rip. Everybody say, let it rip. So let me end on this. Y'all okay? Clap your hands if you've enjoyed this teaching. Are you enjoying this teaching? I think I can end in 2 minutes. Y'all put a timer on. I mean, like, I can end in 2 minutes. Okay? Y'all okay? All right. I think I got some cash. I may have to buy an extra minute just in case. Let me try to find it. How do you view conflict? I just want to show these pictures because it sounds like I've been hard on you guys. But do you see the glass? I'll skip that. Do you see the glass half empty or half full? Do you see opposition? The lion sees lunch. Caleb says, no, we good. We're going to have them for lunch. Go back, sweets. The lion sees lunch. Read this real quick. All right. Ready? Can you read this? Ready, set, go. Read it. That's not what it says. Read it one more time. Read it one more time. Opportunity. That's what we have to do in life sometimes. Opportunity is nowhere. Opportunity is nowhere. Opportunity is now here. Do you see an opportunity or do you see opposition? Wait, sweets. Does what you say determine what you see? Or does what you see determine what you say? Does what you say determine what you see, or does what you see determine what you say? I know what you may see in about 2 seconds, but be careful what you say. What do you see? Say it. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? When I choose to see victory, even when it says defeat. Be careful what you say, even though what you see is different from what you say. What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? And that's what Joshua and Caleb saw after they spoke. I think I'm going to end right here. Clap your hands if you enjoyed this teaching. Yeah, that was a good place. I said 2 minutes. I keep my promise. Amen.